I'm going to start by reading some verses from Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. This is about Abraham and the beginning of his following God. Hear now these words. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless you and those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. And when they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land, to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on by stages towards the Negev. May we have blessing and understanding to the reading of those words. We'll come back to those in our message today. Also, though, I want to share another reading. I shared a reading from this same book last week. The book is This Here Flesh by co-author Riley. You're welcome to borrow my copy if you're interested. I promise you, you won't regret it. It's a really incredible book and an amazing author. Here's what she has to say that I want to share with you from this book. "Mystery need not be met with fear. I am beginning to believe that the things we cannot understand are some of the most beautiful. Uncertainty is not the absence of faith. It is the incubator of it. There's a kind of knowing that comes in the waiting, a kind of trust that is born not despite the unknown, but because of it. I'm learning to stop filling all the silence with answers. Some truths can only be heard in the quiet fog of not knowing."
Says Ingrid Michelson.
My message this morning is entitled, The Invitation to a Foggy Faith. So there are moments, days, weeks, sometimes even seasons, when clarity sort of packs a suitcase, slams the door, and leaves us standing in the in-between, between what was and what might be, between where we are and where we had hoped we'd be by now. And suddenly, the road ahead sort of disappears into fog. Not dangerous necessarily, just uncertainty. Like when you're driving through that early morning mist and you can still see a few feet in front of your car, but everything beyond that sort of is swallowed up in the haze. You know you're not lost, but you sure don't feel found either. You know, earlier this week, I took my first ride in a driverless Uber while I was in Austin on a business trip. Now listen, my brain said, that's fine. But something felt off, you know, off. I kept checking the driver's seat thinking, is this for real? But you know what? The ride was smooth. I actually ended up enjoying it. And here's the part that surprised me and I didn't expect. I ended up liking it so much, I have actually changed the settings in my app to prefer the driverless cars. That's not just, you know, a story about transportation. That's foggy faith. You don't see a driver to trust to stay on the road. Sometimes you just need, though, to be willing to ride into the unknown and see what love might be waiting to teach you. And it's those very moments when we can't see the big picture, when the path is more of a question than it is an answer. It's those moments that faith shifts. Not the mountaintop kinds, not the hashtag blessed kinds. I am talking about foggy faith. The kind that keeps going, even when you're not sure what direction you're heading in. The kind that trusts, not because it sees the whole road, but because it remembers who's walked the road before. And I have to say, before, if you know me, before anyone asks, today is May the 4th. Anyone know the importance of May the 4th? I said, why not? Star Wars Day, May the 4th. Be with you. Star Wars Day? Okay. Alright. In a strange way, it actually fits my message for today, okay? It really does. Because Star Wars, at its heart, is a story about trusting a deeper truth when all you've got is instinct. It's about choosing hope in the fog. About learning to listen for the quiet voice of something bigger than yourself when the path just disappears beneath your feet. It's about becoming more human by learning to trust what you can't fully explain. So maybe, just maybe, it's no accident that we're talking about foggy faith today. Hebrews 11:8 tells us this. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place he would receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. That single verse captures the spirit of today's scripture reading that I shared with you, where we hear the original call that sent Abraham into the fog. Says, you know, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation and I will bless you. So Abram went as the Lord told him. Abram passed through the land and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord and then journeyed on in stages. See, there is no blueprint here, no destination revealed up front to them. Abram was asked to leave everything, his family, his culture, his security, and follow a promise wrapped in fog. Basically, God says, take what you can pack up and go that way. And don't miss this. He didn't just move once. The text says he journeyed on by stages. Which means, even after taking that first step, the full picture still wasn't there. Foggy faith. Foggy faith isn't a one-time leap. It can be a commitment to walking into uncertainty over and over and over again. You know, what strikes me every time that I read this passage is not just Abraham's obedience. It's his trust. And it's also his humanity, honestly. He builds altars along the way. He reflects. He acknowledges the sacred in those transitional spaces. Not just the promise, but the process. You know, there's a reason why we crave certainty. It feels safe, predictable, clean. We like our lives to come with instruction manuals and clearly labeled bins to put everything in. We want to know what's next so that we can plan and prepare, maybe even protect ourselves from the ache of disappointment. But here's the thing. Spiritual growth doesn't usually happen in places of certainty. The more settled, the more secure, the more sheltered we feel, frequently the less growing that we are doing. It happens in that growing, it happens in places of curiosity, in places where answers don't come easy, where we have to wrestle a little bit, or even a lot. One of my favorite theologians, Frederick Buechner, once said, doubt is the ants in the pants of faith. It keeps you awake and moving. That's not just wit, it's wisdom. Doubt, uncertainty, fog, it isn't the opposite of faith. It's part of it. It's part of it. Faith without mystery? Just control with a religious name tag. In Buddhism, Thich Nhat Hanh often talked about the beginner's mind. The idea that spiritual insight comes when we meet life with openness and not with answers. He said this, when you walk in the fog, you take each step more carefully. You become deeply present. That's the gift of the unknown. And I think he's right. I think he's right. I mean, the fog slows us down. Makes us listen more closely. Brings us sort of back to the basics. One breath, one step, one heartbeat at a time. All right, just a little bit more Star Wars? A little bit more? It is May the 4th after all. There's this moment in The Empire Strikes Back, right before Luke Skywalker enters into the dark cave on Dagobah. He's training with Yoda, still figuring out who he's becoming and how to become that. And he asks, what's in there? And Yoda says, only what you take with you. So Luke walks into the fog, literally and spiritually walks into the fog. It's a place of uncertainty, fear, and confrontation. And it reveals something about him that he doesn't expect. That's what foggy faith does. It doesn't just test our beliefs, it reveals them. It reflects the weight that we're carrying, the stories that we've internalized, the fears that we have been avoiding. And Yoda's advice, you must unlearn what you have learned. You must unlearn what you have learned. That is not just a creative statement from Yoda. That is a line of spiritual tradition that most spiritual traditions could get completely behind. Letting go of what no longer serves us. Loosening our grips on what we were taught so we can discover something truer. You see, fog has this way of peeling back those old assumptions if we're brave enough to walk into that fog. Think about the earliest followers of Jesus. The movement that became the church didn't begin in a sanctuary. It wasn't formed around stained glass windows or steeples or five-year strategic plans. It started on the road, at tables, in the tension between hope and heartbreak. It started with people who had no idea where this was going, but chose to walk along anyway. See, Jesus himself rarely stayed in one place. Foxes have dens, he said, birds have nests, but the human one only has nowhere to lay his head. The gospel doesn't give us a Jesus who was easy to pin down. Instead, we get a wandering healer, a table flipper, a question asker, a boundary breaker. He was a ministry of movement and of trust in the fog. Trust in the fog. And that's not just our tradition. The Quran tells the story of the Prophet Muhammad's journey from Mecca to Medina. It wasn't just a geographic move. It was a step into the unknown. It came with risks, with fear, with vulnerability. But it was also the beginning of something new. Beginning of a community grounded not in power or certainty, but in shared purpose and in shared presence. The Hebrew people, led by Moses, didn't leave Egypt with a complete travel itinerary. They followed a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, just enough to light the next step. Not the whole journey, just enough. You know, it's as if our spiritual ancestors knew something that we keep trying to forget. You don't need a map. You don't need to know where the finish line is. You need each other. You need love. And I know it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it's a blessing. It feels like delay, like confusion, like limbo. But as I said, fog teaches us to slow down. To listen more carefully. To move more gently. While I was in Austin, where I had my memorable Uber ride, I couldn't help but visit an early home of Greensboro native O. Henry. It's been turned into a small museum there. And here's the thing. He didn't set out to be one of America's greatest short story writers. First, he was a pharmacist. Actually, before that, he was a few other things. Then a bank clerk. Then, because he was a bank clerk, he also ended up being a prisoner. Yeah, he actually robbed quite a deal of money from the bank and got caught. Ended up in bank in prison for it. So he's in prison, which, as you can imagine, one of the foggiest parts of his life, in a prison cell. It was there that he started writing. He didn't know where it would go. He didn't know the ending, the finish line. But what made his story legendary wasn't the beginning of it, it was the unexpected twist. the surprise, the meaning that shows up not in the clarity, but in the moments where everything turns. You know, that's how faith works sometimes. Like the road to Emmaus that we talked about just a few weeks ago, where they thought the story was over, and then love showed up in disguise. Sometimes the twist is grace. Some folks see it as one of the most moving stories in the Gospels. Two disciples walking away from Jerusalem after the crucifixion, confused, disappointed, hopeless. And then a stranger walks with them. And they talk. They vent. They process. And all the while they don't realize it's Jesus. It's not until they share a meal that their eyes are open. It's not until they slow down and break bread that they realize love was walking beside them through the whole journey. How many times have you walked through something hard, not knowing what was ahead, only to look back later and realize you weren't alone or as alone as you thought? Maybe someone showed up with the right words. Maybe a bit of clarity came at just the right time. Maybe the thing that got you through wasn't a miracle, but a steady presence. Someone walking with you, or a simple choice that kept you going when you didn't have the answers. Sometimes love doesn't fix the road. It just makes it more walkable. I'm here to tell you, in the foggy places, love still walks. And let's be honest. We are living in uncertain times. Not just spiritually, not just institutionally, not just politically, economically, ecologically. So much of what we thought we could count on now feels like it's shaking. But the invitation of foggy faith is not to rush back to certainty. It's to remain present in the unknown, to breathe, to listen, to show up with and for each other. The Tao Te Ching says, the way that can be named is not the eternal. That ancient wisdom, it reminds us that the more we try to define or to control or to wrap our faith in tidy language, the more we sort of miss it, the way, the path, the love that holds us. Well, it can't be boxed in. But it can be followed. One careful, prayerful, courageous step at a time. So then what does that step look like? Well, maybe it looks like saying, hey, I don't know, but I'm still here. Or choosing hope, even when it costs you. Or letting someone else's certainty sit beside yours without trying to solve it or their uncertainty. Or holding joy and grief in the same breath. Trusting that just because you can't see the way doesn't mean that you've lost the way. Showing up in community, week after week, not because you have the answers, but because you believe in the journey. Let's go ahead and just say it plain. The church has never been about buildings. It's never been about clarity. It's never been about always knowing what comes next. Done right, it's been about love. It's been about the table that always has room for one more. It's been about community that sticks together when things fall apart. It's been about the sacred stubbornness of people who keep walking, not because they have a map, but because they have each other. Because they trust that love will meet them on the road even when they don't recognize it right away. If you are in a foggy place today, spiritually, emotionally, personally, you're not failing. You're not. You're not broken. You're not behind. You're just human. You're just human. And you're not alone. Because we're here together. And because love still walks that road. So may you have the courage to stay present in the fog. May you trust the sacred whisper that says, keep walking. May you know that clarity is not a prerequisite for faithfulness. And may you find, again and again, that the next right step will come. It will come. Not all at once, but just in time. And when it does, we'll walk it together. We'll walk it together. And on this May the 4th, I give you this blessing. May the force of love be with you. May it be with you always. May you walk the road with it. May it be so. Amen. Thank you. You to bow your heads together with each of us. It's an act of unity in community as we all practice it together. But receive the words then that I've prepared for you as a prayer or as a meditation or simply as an opportunity to grab hold of the words you need in this moment. Let's bow our heads together. The path ahead is murky. The road behind is sometimes a blur, and the present is sometimes a fog beside existential dread. May we be moved to breathe deep in the mist, to see what we can't see yet, and to find sacredness in the steps we can take. May we be reminded that the absence of clarity is not the absence of love. That not knowing doesn't mean not belonging. That movement, even slow and unsure, is still faith. May we be softened in the fog, loosened from our illusions of control, made spacious enough to walk with courage and compassion beside others whose paths are also unclear. And when fear tightens its grip, may we lean into community. When the questions multiply, may we learn to honor. When the map disappears, may we remember that love has never needed a map to find us. May it be so. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know happiness and love throughout your life. And may your words and your actions share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.
I think this song works, and I just had to.
Okay.
I found it on the site, yeah, like, finding light in the unknown. And I was like, oh, I've just got to take this deal on this. Yeah.
Thank you.